and welcome
to
Bandwagon. What?
Bandwagon.
Soundgarden.
What about to Brave Waffle? Yeah. Hello. Welcome to Bandwagon. I am your host, the Brandon, joined as always by the mustachioed Rick.
Yeah, man. I'm here.
And the Eric.
Hi.
Thanks.
That was a sneaky burp.
I don't know. I felt like it was pretty out there.
No, I did not know it was happening.
Like a poop out of pant leg.
We're not going to do it.
If you didn't hear last week, Rick saw some guy poop and it came out of his pant leg, and he was like,
"I'm still accepting emails, but I'm done with it on the podcast."
Pants pooping therapist. Not therapists who poop pants, but therapists who deal with people who have either experienced pants pooping or visualized it, because that's weird. Maybe it was all hallucination. Never mind. Hello and welcome to Bandwagon. This is the episode where we talk about lyricism. Mightier than the sword. I came up with that name. I'm proud of it. Like it, dang it.
Nice, man.
But before we get into that, I wanted to real quickly run through recent releases. When I say recent, I mean future, because they're coming out tomorrow, March 4th. Let's see. We got a new album by Comeback Kid.
Damn it.
I'm surprised these guys are still around. I just haven't heard anything from them in a long time. They have a new album called Die Knowing. Let's see. See, now, it was working. Was that me or you?
That was the sound of it not working, I think.
That was not me.
Must have been me. Oh, well. New album coming out tomorrow called Die Knowing. Let's see. Oh, not a single song previewable off that album. So, thanks a lot for that, Comeback Kid. We're not going to preview your stuff then. Also, there's a band called Color War with an album coming out called It Could Only Be This Way. Shut up, computer.
Come on, man. Get yourself
What's
together.
Going on? Why are things happening?
Fucking
What's going on?
Dude.
I don't know what's happening and why it's happening. Oh, I hit Alt. I'm having technical issues.
Don't do this.
Feels like grounds for starting over, but I'm not going to do it. So Color War has a new album coming out. It's called It Could Only Be This Way. I don't care enough to find it. I don't.
Their name sounds like they suck anyway.
Stop it!
Dude. Get your shit together, bruh.
I don't know what's going on. My computer doesn't like me anymore. I'm not sure it ever did. The Drive-By Truckers have a new album coming
out.
Yes. Do people like them still?
Yes.
Okay. It's called English Oceans. let's see here. What's the most popular? Okay, there's only one song still previewable on iTunes. It's called Pauline Hawkins. Okay, another girl's name for a song name. Huh. Call me your baby. I can't even.
If you like Neil Young, you'll like these guys.
There's a parental advisory on it.
Yeah. They cuss.
Oh, yeah. Song number one is called Shit Shots Count.
There you go.
There you go.
Nice.
Get it. Okay.
Well done.
Only two songs on the album have explicit tags by them. The other one is called The Part of Him. I wonder why that's explicit. Which part are we talking about?
Probably the cack.
That makes sense. Also, there's a band called We Are Scientists. They have an album called TV en Francais coming out. I am so sick of you, computer.
That was a great album that you just played. That whole just one note where it goes ding,
do.
I like it.
It seems to be a running thing here.
I'm going
to
buy that one.
TV en Francais by We Are the Scientists. They have a song called Make It Easy. I'll play a little bit here. I think they make it easy not to buy an album. At least for me. That's not my cup of tea. Whatever. Yeah, I don't know. I guess they're a popular band. I've never heard of them. Whatever. Rick, what you been listening to?
I have been listening to well, it's bad when you forget the band name. Okay. Got it.
You got it.
Yeah, it's I Hate Kate.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you played some.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like some. Hang on. I fucked something up here. I'm almost there.
Okay.
Getting there.
Allow it. That's a great band name, by the way.
Yeah, it's cool. They changed their name.
They did? From what? If you remember.
From I Hate Kate.
To from I Hate Kate?
I Like Kate?
No.
I Hate Cake.
Cake. Kate.
Right?
Kate.
Kate.
The band
Kate.
Is I Hate Kate.
Kate.
Kate. Kate.
Like a girl named Kate.
It is he I Hate Kate. Them. That's the band name
no,
now.
That's what it was.
That's what I said. And they changed it to I Hate Cake.
No. Fucking no. They changed it to Darling Thieves.
Then why did you say they're called I Hate Kate?
They were. You asked what they changed it from.
He did say he forgot who he was listening to.
No, you said what they changed it from. I said they changed it from I Hate Kate. You didn't ask me what they changed
it to. I really thought you said I Hate Cake. No, I genuinely thought that's what it was. And that's why I said it's a great band name.
He does not like this female.
Okay. And now they're called what?
Darling Thieves.
I like I Hate Kate better.
That was me.
Ah, there's that song.
I'll play a clip.
Okay.
It's loud.
I got it.
Oh, you got it.
I like the energy.
Yeah, that song.
I like it.
That song.
I feel like I'm at a carnival or something.
It's good. They do a lot of upbeat stuff.
It's somehow upbeat and negative at the same time.
Yeah. Well, it's I'm in love with a sociopath.
I got
that's
that.
The name of the song.
That was the only line of the chorus besides "She makes me happy."
They also did this.
Silence.
Well, no. Oh.
The countdown song.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
4, 3, 2, 1. I've talked about the song on the show before.
Yep. It's good. And they
redid Major Tom?
Yeah.
No.
Major Tom coming home.
Coming home.
Yeah. It's like the
Major. It's
home.
The answer to David Bowie's Major Tom.
Yes.
To Ground Control.
They did really well with this.
They did.
Oh, I like that. Right there, they decided to cut away from it.
Yep.
What album is that on?
That is on Embrace the Curse. I Hate Kate.
I might download that.
I believe they rebranded the album under Darling Thieves as well.
Oh, did they? Like re-released?
Yeah, I think so.
In high definition?
Yeah, I think they did. Let me check it. No, I'm not seeing it, but I don't even see them on here at all. So
you know, I'm in iTunes right now, and I found this band with they're called Com Trues. Like Tom Cruise, but they reversed the first letters. It released on February 18th. It's a newer album. I'm just going to play a clip here because I'm curious while you're looking that up. It's called Declination.
What you doing?
What the fuck is this, dude?
I don't know. I just found it. Nope, it was worth a shot.
Yeah,
that was weird.
No. Yeah, no.
What did we just listen to?
The song was called Declination by a band called Com Trues off the album Wave One. I don't know. It's electronic.
Is that Prince trying to become relevant?
That's not at all what Prince sounds like.
I don't know. He might be trying to become relevant. What I'm saying is it sounds stupid.
It did. Yeah, it did. It did. Yeah.
Definitely sounded
people
stupid.
Like electronic music, though. I don't know.
But they didn't do it right. You're doing it wrong.
Apparently,
guys.
The most popular song by Prince recently has been "Little Red Corvette."
Little Red Corvette.
But how it goes?
Something, 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 nice. Something. Little Red Corvette.
Well done.
As covered by Eric. But I'm not going to play Little Red Corvette. I'm going to play "I Would Die for You."
No, play "Raspberry Beret."
No, I'm going to play "I Would Die for You" because I'm so weirded out by the fact that he, instead of four, F-O-R, he used a four, and instead of U, Y-O-U, he used a capital letter U.
No, don't do that.
I'm going to play the song just so I can see if I should hate it as much as I already
I think you would.
Oh!
Nope.
No!
Fuck that. Fuck it. Fuck this. It's not acceptable.
It's actually got a decent 80s new wave beat, but Prince.
Yeah.
Shoot myself in the head. Please hit stop.
I can't do it.
Hit stop.
Don't do it.
It's like torture porn for my ears.
Still keep playing.
Stop. It's like a train wreck happening only to my eardrums.
Yeah, don't keep playing it.
All right, I'm over it.
That was horrible.
That's what Prince sounds like. So actually, you know what? You weren't that far off with Calm Truths there. I guess it's
I know things.
You didn't know that you knew it, though. That's the thing. You just got lucky.
Why'd I say it?
Because you wanted to. Because we talked about Prince last week. Eric, what you been listening to?
Man, I'm going again old school because I don't really listen to anything new.
No school like the old school.
The Descendants, man. Milo Goes to College. That whole album is great. You should listen to it because it's great.
The Descendants. Which album?
Milo Goes to College.
Milo Goes to College.
You should play Hope.
I'll play Hope, but I'll only play it if and when iTunes goes, yes, I will play
that song.
What?
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 What happened?
Stuff.
Oh, nice, man.
I'm looking for it. The Descendants. Milo.
Goes to college.
Goes to college.
Because he went to college.
Nothing. Milo goes to college. I'm not even looking for the Descendants at this point. There it is. It's just Descendants, not the Descendants. That's my bad. Milo Goes to College. Great album art. Like,
yeah,
a little Dilbert looking fella.
Yeah, very basic.
And you wanted me to play Hope.
Hope.
That is exactly what I expected. I don't know how.
It's good, though.
It's good punk.
Yeah, I like it.
I get the appeal. I don't know how far off base I'm going to be here. I want to play a clip by a band called Dogwood.
Dogwood.
not like canine boner.
I wasn't thinking that.
I thought Eric was.
Well, I'm sure Eric was, but
I saw it immediately reflect in his eyes.
What are you looking at?
Dogwood.
I'm going to play a clip of the song.
It's recording, right?
I think so. Yeah, looks like
recording.
It.
We had that issue once.
Yeah, it's just not the color it usually is, so I was a little thrown off for a second. I'm going to play a clip of the song Never Die by Dogwood. I just want to see if it matches up with my memory. Okay. Ironic that this happens in the middle of a song called Never Die.
And the song died.
My faith in you will never dead. It's dead. What's happening? Why is it happening? Rebuffering. Ah! Oh! Ah!
Oh, God. We're having total internet issues
going on here.
Today.
I guess. Rick, what are you doing over there?
I ain't doing shit.
Stop downloading all the HD tranny porn, okay?
Damn it.
Let's try again.
They're under me.
There we go. Seems to be working.
This song was on Street Skater on the PlayStation and arcade.
Really?
Yes.
Is that where it's from?
Yeah.
I've heard it.
Yeah, it was on. They had like Pennywise, Melancholin.
Yeah,
all that
man.
That
Street Skater. That's a throwback.
Uh-huh.
I recognize that song.
Skate thrash. It's good stuff.
I'm just gonna try different songs. See if it works. This is a song called Undertaking.
This is a good song.
Yeah, I like the song. I haven't been listening to it. You just brought me back to punk, and I was thinking about it. It's not. I mean, that song is a little less on the punk side. All right, I'm gonna try Never Die one more time, just because I want to hear something beyond the first
Big
two words.
Dick.
His voice is really off-putting, but it's go. Just that song. Just that song. That's
Why don't
it.
You suck a dick? That song.
That's uncalled for.
Sorry.
How could you say that? Why would you say that?
I'm angry.
Why don't just for fun, since that song doesn't work, you play Melancholin.
Do it.
Melancholin.
By who?
That's the name of the band.
Band name.
Play No Cigar. Melancholin.
Okay.
No Cigar.
No Cigar is the song name.
No Cigar.
Hey, it's the most popular song by them, apparently. Off the album Penny Bridge Pioneers by the band Melancholy, here is No Cigar.
Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, guys.
Oh. I get it. Yeah, the soundtrack to those games got almost as popular as the game itself.
Oh, yeah.
they had good songs on it.
Yeah, it's not bad.
It's kind of the same feel for the last three bands we mentioned, so I was like, well, this one's not working, so play that one.
I'm going to take it a completely different direction. Recently, in anticipation of an album that's coming out next week, I've been listening to Demon Hunter.
Demon Hunter.
Yeah.
Nice.
Demon Hunter.
They have a great logo.
Hunt demons for Jesus. Hunt demons for Jesus.
Yeah, that's one of their songs. You've heard of them.
I wrote that song.
I read songs.
Man, they're speaking of their songwriter.
Songs.
I watched a video of the guy who was their lyricist and vocalist, Ryan Clark. I watched a video with him. One of those introspective videos where everything's in black and white, mm-hmm. and he's sitting on a tree stump, all bearded and hoodied, sitting there talking to the camera. Actually, no, he's talking at his feet.
That's hot.
Okay. And he was talking about how important the lyrics. There's a music video, actually it's more of a lyric video out for a song that's off their upcoming album. The album is called Extremist, and the song is called Artificial Light. I won't play a clip of it here, I'll play it next week, just to hype you up for it. Oh, that's a tease! we're teasing like we're getting money out of them or something.
Nice.
Alright.
Maybe they'll come over and preach to us since we talked about them.
I don't want to be preaching. Forget it. I'm going to play a clip of Artificial Light. But there's a... Oh, good. They're going to just play the intro. Smart. Well. But there's a video of Ryan Clark. Yeah, it's like a 3-minute long intro. And it's a 1:20 sample. Oh, well. But there's a video of Ryan Clark talking about the song and what it's actually about to him, which is he gets so sick of listening to bands whose lyricism within the music, even if he loves the music itself, he gets so sick of lyrics that just relate to the listener and offer nothing by means of a solution.
Yeah.
Or don't do anything besides. It's like if observational humor went no further than how about that airline food?
Right.
That's the entirety of the joke. Uh-huh. When you do that, there's. Oh, yeah. What about it?
Why do they call it Ovaltine? I'm going to finish that one. Because the jar is round, the glass is round, they should call it Roundtine.
Nice. Killed Jerry. It killed.
Killed Jerry.
Oh, I haven't thought about I haven't thought about that in a long time. Banna.
Yeah, fucking Banna.
But I...
It killed Jerry.
The joke killed. Ryan Clark didn't make the observation with regard to the... like the unfinished joke, but that's how I took it, where he's like, he gets so sick of these songs that are just, they just sit in this gray middle area where it doesn't take any kind of stance on what they talk about, where he said there are songs that he prefers where he disagrees with the stance the lyrics take, but he still appreciates it better because at least it stood on something.
Yeah, at least it has
it's not just like, sadness.
Yeah,
or
stringing some words together with a couple like buzzwords that might mean somebody to something, something to somebody.
That was easy for you to say.
Yeah, that was that was my new language I just invented.
I think he just had a stroke. How does your left arm feel?
I just dropped some poop out of my pant leg.
Nice.
The left arm thing, that's a heart attack.
That's a heart attack.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with my mind. I don't know. At least I got
good
it right. It's left arm.
Yep. It's because your pulmonary artery stops pumping blood to that side of your body for the time being during a heart attack.
Knowledge dropped on you by the Eric.
Myocardial infarction is what we call it.
Why do you know that?
I'm trained, man.
What?
I'm trained.
Oh, cool. Now, if I ever have that happen to me, which is likely because I'm fat, the minute I grab my left arm in pain, I'm going to say everything that you just said.
I'm having a myocardial infarction.
I'm going to confuse the heck out of some people. What? How can we help? Is that do we need to give you mouth to mouth?
I need potassium insulate, please.
Just whip it at me. That sounded dirty. But along the lines of what I was talking about with Ryan Clark, I've been listening to Demon Hunter, blah, 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 doesn't matter. More interested to talk about lyricism. And having just seen that clip of Ryan Clark talking about what lyricism means to him when he's listening to bands where, you know, it's music that he should really, it's music that he really likes, but then he hears the lyricism and it turns him off of it. And then there are even some songs that he disagrees with the stance the song takes, but he still appreciates it more than other music because at least it takes a stance. I just thought we should talk a little bit about how lyricism affects our view on music and on, you know, can lyricism maybe pull you into listening to something you ordinarily wouldn't just because you really appreciate the nature of the lyricism, or can bad lyricism take something you would normally enjoy and shove you away from it? I don't know. That's just kind of what's been on my mind lately, and I thought I'd see what you guys thought about it.
I have a little fun fact.
Fun fact?
Know. Did you know that Jesse Sprinkle would you say it's a nugget? Was an original member of Demon Hunter?
Who?
Jesse Sprinkle.
I don't know who Jesse Sprinkle is.
It's Aaron Sprinkle's little brother.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's just I just found that out just now.
Did you know that the drummer for Reliant K used to be the guitarist for Demon Hunter?
Really?
Yeah. Ethan nice. Luck, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, he's on here.
He's a... I think he was a better guitarist than he was a drummer, but I don't know.
I don't know.
Good for him. That's
interesting.
That's interesting multi-instrumentalism there.
Anyway, go on.
Well, Rick, you spoke out completely off topic, so I'll punish you first. What are your thoughts on lyricism and its effect on you in music?
It's big. Lyrics are... What?
Okay.
Can it be measured with a ruler?
No. You need something bigger, for sure.
A yardstick. Okay.
Measuring tape.
That stuff's
that
infinite.
Fucker. Yeah. It's... Lyrics are a big part of music, and I really like well-done lyricism.
Yeah.
It's it can make a song, for sure. Mm-hmm. It can... Like, well-done lyricism can make me listen to stuff that I would not normally listen to.
Just... You don't have to provide an example. Do you have an example?
I do.
Oh, really?
There's a band called Me Without You.
Yep. That...
Without...
You took mine.
Really?
Yes, you did. That's fine.
Without the lyrics for that band, I wouldn't be that interested. I like what they do. It sounds kind of cool, but it'd be one of those things where I was like, yeah, it's pretty neat.
If you read the lyricism away from listening to the music, it's like you're reading a work of art.
Yeah.
And there's
Dude
not
can
a lot
tell
of lyrics
a story.
That like, yeah, you really can.
Like, it's... That's a band that I wouldn't normally listen to, but that lyricism draws me in, and I listen to them fairly regularly.
Really?
Yeah. Not like every day or something, but I'll always come back to Me Without You to listen to some of their songs.
I'm just going to play a clip of my favorite song, because it's one of the first songs I ever learned to play the whole song of, just because of how much I liked it. And it's actually the fable of the fable, which is the same name as the song, which is The Fox, the Crow, and the Cookie.
Yeah.
It's a great song. Chocolate tart, using most unfriendly words that the village children had not yet heard. That is a majority of how he sings.
Yeah.
But the way that he tells the story,
well,
it's so immersive.
My favorite song by them is the King Beetle on the Coconut Estate.
The King Beetle and the Coconut Estate.
On the Coconut Estate.
The King Beetle on the Coconut Estate.
Yeah, it's a good song. He tells a story, and it's really well done.
Oh, good Lord. Do you know what album it's on?
Same one as that.
Oh, it is?
Yes. The one with the forever long title, I think.
Yeah, it's all crazy. It's all false. It's all a dream. It's all right.
Yeah.
The King Beetle on a Coconut Estate.
Yeah.
There we go.
It's a good song. They start right at the beginning, which is a bad move.
Well, I'll skip a little in here. We'll skip to 30 seconds. In. Learned, there was neither a light
nor a heat in his words. Yeah.
I love the instrumentalism.
It's good.
Just so subtle.
You skip ahead some more.
Sounds like could be like a medieval poetry reading type.
Yeah,
a little bit. Know,
like, that's well, that's it's kind of like that. It's a king beetle. Lieutenant stepped out from the line. It's a story.
Very subtle
music. With twine. Yeah. I'm thinking I'm stronger and braver and I'll earn the king's favor. It's a good time. One day all he
has will be. It's super mellow in that song. It's not all like that.
Yeah.
But as far as like the introspective lyrics go,
well, that song picks up
king.
And gets really upbeat and cool.
I am a big fan of Me Without You, but not necessarily for his vocal style. And that's one of the things, that's actually one of the points that I was going to talk about. What factors does the vocal ability play for or against the lyricism? In that case, the fact that he's not a good singer, but it still fits the style, where it's kind of like you said, it's almost like you half expect him to be prancing through the town, yeah. Like playing a tambourine right, while he sings this music.
It
works.
I've got further in that song, it illustrates how much they can change.
Go ahead.
I got that.
If you've got it pulled up, go ahead.
Nope, that's not
that it. Can't possibly be it.
No, I played the wrong song.
It's like his voice gets frantic sometimes.
Yeah, it like skipping forward in the song. They do some stuff like that.
It's very dramatic.
Yeah, that's the word for it.
But all the drama. I was about to say dramaticism. Pretty sure that's not a word.
I don't think it is.
I'm making up words left and right here.
Excellent.
But all the drama really comes from the tension in the music and his lyricism.
Dramaticism is a word.
It is?
Yeah.
You're kidding me.
It's a real thing.
I could have said it then. I did.
Dramatic
say it.
Manner or form. The
his
technique of
his dramaticism ups the
thought.
Ante of the drama in the music. Maybe a little redundant, but
yeah,
whatever. Yeah, and so Me Without You is a great indication of the factor that lyrics can play in the song, where the vocals, if they fit this, it's almost like the vocals are made to fit the style because of the way the lyricism flows.
Yeah,
in its own way. Yeah. Adversely, there could be times
fucking ruin bands you love,
and you already know where I'm going.
Where are you going with it?
I think it was like the very first episode, one of the very first episodes of Soundwave that we hosted. I just lambasted this album because of how disappointed I was.
Yeah.
The album is Release the Panic. The band is Red, a band I'm a very big fan of, and it just broke my heart. It's such a bad album.
Bring it in. It's okay.
What? I need therapy. Somehow the album actually commercially did decently and got good reviews. I don't understand for the life of me how. It's the most mind-numbing lyrics, especially from a band that's done really well with that in the past, where it's kind of it's on the tinge of post-hardcore moving out of hard rock.
Yeah.
And then this kind of almost grungy, nonsensical rock pops in with, I mean, I can overlook the music if the lyricism at least held up. But I'm going to play a song called Same Disease. This one makes no sense.
They lost me on the auto-tune.
That's not auto-tune, that's filter. Thankfully. I'm getting mad. My heart hurts right now.
Like, are you having a myocardial infarction?
I'm slapping my arm. Okay, first off, getting all fired up. First off, your bridge and your chorus should not have the exact same lines.
No.
Nope. And those exact same lines, it shouldn't be, I'm immune to you, you are immune to me. We're both same souls with the same disease. That is That was 17 words. 17 words repeated across a bridge and a chorus.
Yeah,
it's the same 17 words. I'm sorry. I'm not saying that all choruses need to be wordy, but come on, put some work into it.
Yeah,
and not only that makes no sense.
Yeah,
that makes no sense. I'm immune to you. You're immune to me. We're both sick souls with the same disease. What's the immunity have to do with it then?
Yeah.
What?
You're not immune. You just have
the disease. You're immune to each other. We both have the same disease.
Okay.
Does that mean because they already have the disease, then they can't pass it to each other, so everything's kosher?
And apparently that means that the song is worth writing.
I guess so.
That's so stupid!
Sounds fucking entertaining.
I mean, I guess it's like we both have AIDS. We might as well have sex.
Yeah, right? Unprotected AIDS sex.
What? Why is that a song?
Well, it's not immunity.
That's
you can't get more AIDS.
I already have enough AIDS, thank you.
You can't get more of a disease once you have it. It's not immunity.
Well,
it's just you can't have more.
What about leprosy? I mean, you can have leprosy like in your hand.
You're already fucked.
And then it goes.
You already have leprosy. You can't.
It's like, oh no, now I have leprosy. Now I have more leprosy.
Damn it.
It's spreading. It was going to spread anyway. You can't blame your neighbor because now you have leprosy of the scalp. Is that a thing? Sure.
Yeah.
It's everywhere.
All over your body.
So this is a band where, okay, just listen for just a second to the music alone. A little generic.
Yeah,
very.
Okay. First off, that's, I'm pretty sure, a direct rip of a Three Days Grace riff.
Yeah.
Not riff. There's no riff there. That was just chords. That was just power chords. The same ones over and over for a chorus. A little generic, but overlookable if it had some decent content.
Right.
But it does not have decent content.
It's not. I mean, I'm not saying that the lyricism was necessarily bad, but it was pointless.
Yeah.
The whole album, there's maybe two or three songs I actually like on there. One of which is called Love Will Leave a Mark, which was an instance where, okay, it's about the impact that love can have on your life, where somebody who is impacted by it cannot help but have a certain air of it. Love Will Leave a Mark, where it's clear how it's impacted you in the way that you act. All right? Maybe it's a song that's been written 100 times or so, but they did an interesting take on it, and I liked the way that they did it. I was perfectly fine with it. I personally, stylistically, I think it was the best song on the album because it's the most like what they've done in the past.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, this song should have been the worst song on an album filled with songs better than this.
It's pretty bad.
It's not bad.
No, I mean the album as a whole.
Yeah. As far as I'm concerned, this should have been on the low end of the album.
Yeah.
With every song better than this one.
Yeah.
The fact that this is the best song on the album, both in content and in music, where it's like something that they would write. Every other song sounds like something written by a band far inferior. Like this, I don't know. And honestly, again, I could have overlooked the fact that the music was okay if it weren't for the fact that the lyricism was just impotent. Just impotent.
Yeah.
And again, another instance, that's an instance of the opposite of what you've got, where there's a genre that you normally wouldn't maybe care for, pulled in because the lyricism's so good. Here, the lyricism is really the thing holding me back from listening to something that's kind of up my alley.
Yeah.
Most of the way up my alley. That sounded dirty.
I'll get up your alley.
All right. Eric, do you have any thoughts on lyricism and its impact on...
Yeah, I guess, you know, talking about how, like, stuff that you normally wouldn't listen to.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a big fan of loud music. I like to crank my shit up to 11. I like distortion.
Sure.
You know, but there's this one song that my ex-girlfriend used to listen to all the time. It's by Tracy Chapman, and it's called Fast Car. Like, the lyrics in it, it's not anything that's, like, overly analytical. It's not, there's no metaphor, simile. You know, it's not something you have to think of. But I think it really relates to a feeling that everybody could have. Everybody's probably had as like, a teenager. You know,
yeah.
It's about getting away, you know, like... and the guitar work in it is beautiful. I think it's a great
song.
This
is a good song.
It's not something I would listen to usually.
Oh, I'm going the wrong direction.
Where are you going?
I was hitting down instead of up.
I like this song.
Yeah, I'm okay with it.
It's a good song.
And that's one of those things where when you really relate strongly with a song, it doesn't really matter what genre it is. No, if it's done well,
yeah,
it's done well.
It's a beautiful song.
Yeah. I like it. It feels sentimental.
It really is. Well, when she wrote it, you know, like, you can really feel like she's speaking from experience. This isn't just like, well, I'm going to string a bunch of words together with, you know, a little sorrowful melody and make everybody sappy over it. It's actually something that she probably had to get out, you know.
Sure.
So, yeah. Definitely not something that I would usually listen to, for sure.
No, and that's one of those... Well, sometimes it's nice to deviate from the stuff you normally listen to.
Mm, of course.
You can only listen to so much heavy metal before maybe it's time to listen to something just to purge a little.
Right, right. To level out.
And this is a good purge song, as far as I can tell.
Mm-hmm. And like I said, it's not overly complicated. It's not something you have to sit there and you have to think about what she's saying.
Yeah.
There's no riddles in it or anything like that. It's just very straightforward, you know.
Yeah. You know, really, complication is overrated.
Oh,
sometimes
yeah. Oh, yeah.
The most simplistic of stuff can actually be the thing that really strikes you.
Exactly.
And a couple of weeks ago, we played a song from Further Seems Forever's
I never thought Fast Car was by a woman.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, everybody says...
Well, so many guys sing like girls now.
Yeah.
It's, yeah. Okay.
She sounds more... This is going to sound like an insult. It's not. She sounds more masculine than Bruno Mars.
Oh, yeah. Well, she's got a classic, like, 40s,
soul,
50s,
R&B.
Jazz. Yeah, like that kind of voice. It's not... You know, a lot of people do mistake her as it being a man singing.
I probably would have thought it was a guy singing, just based on today's trends.
She is a lesbian. No, I looked it up. She is.
And that affects how you sing?
No, I'm just saying that I get it.
Is that why Melissa Etheridge sounds like a douche?
Yes.
Probably is.
Okay. Oh, I can wrap my head around it.
Now I don't like the song. Just kidding. I'm just kidding.
It's still a really good song.
Why wouldn't it be?
I like it.
Because lesbians can't write good songs?
I was trying to counteract you not liking it now.
I like it. I think it's a good song.
Why do you hate lesbians?
Yeah, what's your homophobic problem, bro?
I don't know.
What is this,
I mean,
1990?
I don't have one. Now I am going to have a heart attack.
We're edgy.
We say lesbians.
That's all it takes. But a couple weeks ago, we were talking about Further Seems Forever, and there's the song Janie. It's coming. But the song Janie by Further Seems Forever, it's this kind of melancholic, sentimental acoustic track at the end of the album. That just the way that it plays out, there's nothing complicated. It's just kind of a song apologizing. But it's so well done. It's so crisp and clean. It doesn't matter that there's not a full instrumental track behind it. It doesn't matter that it doesn't have a give and take or an ebb and flow of with like a building bridge into a sweeping chorus. It does, not every song needs that. Sometimes you can have. I guess it's not going to happen. Sometimes you can just have a song like Hallelujah. I can't remember who originally wrote the song. The version that I've heard is Jeff Buckley.
Good. That's a really good.
It's a beautiful song. Sometimes you can just have a song like Hallelujah that just a really simple chordal progression and just this really intimate, intense vocal performance of just incredible lyricism. And
Buckley nails it.
He really did.
Yeah.
I don't know who originally performed that.
I don't even think people really remember, because it's like just a traditional song now, you know. It's
I think that's Jeff Buckley's version is the version that was in Shrek.
Yeah.
And that was the one where it took off because of that. I now realize that the reason none of my music was loading is because I was looking in my library and not on iTunes, which now shows me that I have made the grave mistake of not downloading Hallelujah.
Nice.
There you go. For the three of you that haven't heard this song, I guess this isn't acoustic. For some reason, I thought it was acoustic, but... Honestly, it's one of those songs that you could learn to play on a guitar in about a minute if you already know a majority of chords, because it's just super standard. But guess what? Didn't matter. The song is still beautiful, and it's all based on the lyricism and the vocal performance. the minor fall and the major league. The rest of the show is just to be us listening to this song. I gotta stop and get sucked into it.
No.
Just along these same lines, this isn't the turn I thought this episode was gonna take, but I'm gonna see how big of a sissy I can make myself look like. But first, I'm gonna push it to you guys. Has there ever been a song that you just got so swept up in that it actually brought tears to your eyes?
Quite a few of them, yeah.
Yeah?
Well, yeah.
And that's one of those things where you say that to some people, and it's not as commonplace as it used to be so immersed into the music, where so many people just look to music as a distraction and not as an actual
piece of art.
They look at it so passively,
yeah,
where they just use music to escape something passively rather than actively immersing into the music because of the experience it brings. And I credit a lot of that to poor lyricism today. A lot of it is the fact that the music itself is distracting, yeah, but there are really good bands, like what I was talking about earlier with Demon Hunter and Ryan Clark's perspective on lyricism. The way that Ryan Clark approaches lyricism, you can immerse yourself. I mean, even though metal as it stands probably isn't a super lyrically immersive...
Sorry.
That's right. Metal as it stands probably isn't a super immersive genre as far as lyricism goes, but if you pay attention to the lyricism of a band like Demon Hunter and you do let yourself immerse into it, there are some songs in there that are really moving, that they have really great points. I don't have any off the top of my head that stand out besides I Am a Stone, but that's not really metal. That's one of those bonus tracks that'll blow you away. What's going on over
I'm
there?
Back.
What's going on?
It's a thing.
Oh, here's I Am a Stone. Just because it's hard to believe this is Demon Hunter.
It's a good song.
This is one song that more recently, the first time I listened to this song, it's at the end of an album called True Defiance. I did not fully immerse into that album. It was just okay to me. Like I said, I always appreciate Ryan Clark's lyricism. He's a great lyricist, but metal is not always an immersive genre as far as lyricism goes. Yeah. It can be an experience, but it's not typically one because of the lyrics.
Yeah.
It's usually because of the music that gets you pulled in, mm-hmm, and kind of gets you amped up. It's not an introspective genre, typically.
Right.
I don't want to push anyone away here.
No, that's very true.
Yeah.
Very true.
Whereas you have guys like Jeff Buckley, the music that they write, the music that those kind of artists write, it can be more immersive because of the words that are being sung. Well, in this day and age, it seems like there's this weird perfect storm of crap hitting the fan where the music should be highlighting good lyricism, but it's not. And the other half of the music is just loud and noisy and pointless.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like that active participation in music is disappearing. I don't know. Because, like I said, the first time that I listened all the way through True Defiance, and I ended up at the song I Am a Stone, and something about it just struck me. And there's not a single drum in the song. It is just Ryan Clark and some kind of symphonic instrumentalism.
Yeah, I was going to say, when you say there's no drums in it, they get the percussive.
Yeah, the percussive
sound
vibe comes
from the cello.
The,
and,
yeah.
That's what it is.
Which, when you're talking about a metal band,
you don't.
That's a bold move.
Yeah, right.
There's not even an acoustic guitar in there.
Yeah, right.
There isn't a guitar in the track. It's just Ryan Clark and an instrumental track based off of kind of a symphonic feel.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just this perfect medium where it blew me away. And I ended up getting so sucked into the story he's telling in the song. Well, not really a story, but the approach he's taking to the song. It actually brought tears to my eyes.
Yeah.
Where it's just, I just got so swallowed up inside it. Do you have any songs like that, Rick?
I definitely do.
Oh, boy.
It's a song by Bayside.
Oh, how about that?
Again?
It's a song that they wrote after their drummer died in a van accident on tour.
Sure.
And it's called Winter, and they wrote it for him. And it's really heartfelt song. I mean, obviously, they were close to the guy.
Yeah.
This is a clip. Sorry. His wings and we'll hold our heads up knowing that he's fine.
I like it.
Yeah, it's good.
It's hard to feel the heart of some songs these days.
Yeah.
It's easy to be so cynical about it.
I don't think a lot of them have. It's
not
lost
a lot.
A lot of heart. It's just now it's about people, fashion and making money.
It's you know? It's all about the imagery and the marketing.
There's not soul to it. No heart.
It really does feel in a lot of ways like music has lost a lot of its heart. It's trying to make a comeback. There's a lot of bands that are going out of their way to bring the heart back with heartfelt messages in their music, songs about things that matter to them. I don't know. I guess I don't have a lot of relevant recent examples for that.
There's not a lot of recent ones I can think of, but there's plenty of older stuff.
Well, one band that definitely touches, well, pretty much the entire band is based around a heartfelt message is Nikki Sixx's new band, 6AM.
Yeah.
All about the drug addiction.
His recovery from drug addiction and his anti-drug stance.
Yeah.
Is really
tough road for that guy.
The whole of their first album with 6AM was mainly focused on how shitty heroin is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how much it destroys you.
This is coming from a guy that shot up 8 grams a day, which
died twice.
Says anything about heroin is a crazy amount of heroin.
Yeah. That's a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a little
bit. It was
too much. I'll say it's too much.
Yeah. Less than that
thousands
kills
of
people.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
What's the guy that just died? Heroin overdose.
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah, he died from less.
Yep. He died from that nasty Mexican black tar shit, too.
Yeah, black tar heroin.
Eric, do you have any songs that stand out to you as being so heartfelt that they've actually brought a tear to your eye?
I do. I actually have a couple. The one that I want you to play, I'm not going to talk about right now, but Everlong by the Foo Fighters.
Oh,
when
sure.
they did that acoustic cover.
Oh,
I remember,
right.
We talked about this last week. I remember the day I was at my job at an animal shelter, and I was cleaning out some kennels, and I was listening to the Howard Stern Show where it was recorded. And I remember just as soon as he started it up, like I just stood there with the fucking broom in my hand. And I mean, just stared at a wall because it was so such an impact, you know, and I was actually, you know, I was shaking. I had the just crazy tingles, you know, and to listen to this live.
Yeah.
And then now it's become, I mean, I think this is a better version than the actual recorded version.
You know, the live version better?
It's phenomenal, and it's just the way he sings, the lyrics of it. It just every time right now my neck is tingling.
Yeah,
it's crazy shit.
And that's an experience that a lot of people are missing out on.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Where they don't get past the two singles from the album
right.
to find those tracks that maybe don't hold the same weight as far as commercial success goes. They don't find those tracks that really contain the heart of the artist.
Right.
And a song like Everlong really kind of showcases, especially the more intimate, like the acoustic feel. Mm-hmm. And like you said, the live performance. I mean, when you listen to the recorded version, how many takes did they have to do to get it right?
Right.
You know?
Right.
Before, pretty soon, is the heart there to the extent it could be? When you hear it performed live, it's the heat of the moment.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing.
Is it really the heat of the moment when you're in the studio and you're having to give the vocals a go for the 30th time?
Right.
Naturally, it's going to lose something, probably. But there's something about that live performance. And like you said, it maybe if you were on your way home, it wouldn't have struck you the same way. Maybe it would have. But something about that instant.
The fact that I could stand there and actually listen to it and really
kind of get swallowed up in it.
Yeah, the emotional impact that he was putting forth, you know, it was awesome.
Yeah. Did you have another one?
The other one, yes, I do. It's A Letter to Elise by The Cure. I think this song, anybody that's ever been in love and had a breakup, like you can understand the song.
That's one of those subjects that every band has a song about it. It's usually the perspective of the band.
Yeah, and this one to me, it's very visual. Like when I hear it, like I can picture, you know, the little story in it, like going on through my head, and it's a beautiful song to me. I love it, and anytime I hear it, and I think about previous relationships. And sure. Even though it might not have been the best thing, or it's good that we're gone now, like yeah. You kind of start to miss that.
It's just kind of like it's a healthy sentiment.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Even if it is about something that you can't have back, it's about exploring the past. It's just kind of scoping out the sentiment of it.
That and the lyrics in it are phenomenal. It's just very well written.
I don't think I've heard this song.
I don't think I have.
Yeah, I can kind of feel the sentiment in the song there. And I know it sounds like an easy phrase to say, but that's a difficult thing to feel.
Oh, yeah.
I like it.
It's a really beautiful song. It's got really good poignant lyrics. Like the last verse of it is, and every time I try to pick it up, like falling sand, as fast as I pick it up, it runs away through my clutching hands. Like you can, like just
very visual.
Yeah,
yeah, the imagery.
You can see, you know, like he's trying to grasp onto that last bit of love, but it's just
going
sinking.
Through.
It's just, and there's nothing that he can do, which is the next part of the lyric.
That's the pain of the memory.
Nothing else I can do.
I have one more. We're running long again. I think this is the new thing. We're just going to run. The format of the show is changing before my very eyes. there's an artist, Dustin Kensrue. He was the vocalist for Thrice. I think Thrice is on hiatus right now. Thrice, which started out kind of a post-hardcore band, moved kind of into experimental post-hardcore. Actually, they started out like punk, like hardcore punk.
Mm, Thrice, yeah.
Yeah. And they just kind of morphed and changed, and then like Veshu took them down more of an experimental path, and then they had the Alchemy Indices, Fire, Earth, Water, and Air, which all had like were concept albums essentially, and they've just moved more and more experimental, and all of a sudden Destin Kensrue goes boop, and he starts a side project that's just under his own name, and it's actually a worship project, and I know this isn't necessarily a Christian podcast, so playing Christian music might be taboo. Lesbians.
Perfect. <Yes.
laughs> Took a weird turn.
Bring on the lesbians.
but there is a song on here that, when I listened through the album, just the intensity in his voice, and knowing the stuff that Dustin has gone through, his backstory, listening through the song is just... The song is called It's Not Enough. I wouldn't have expected it to be one of the more popular songs on the album. But listening to the intensity in his voice as he sings it, where the song just really slowly builds. Very mellow, kind of melancholy. And it's really about how trying to fill your life with all of these things, all of the distractions you try to throw in your way, the distractions that you try to use with yourself so that you don't feel the weight of specific pains or the things that you're going through. It's about how, you know, it's not enough to make you whole. The distraction still exists. When the distraction is done, that pain still exists. The problem that you're trying to escape is still there. That wasn't a good enough sample. I'll actually open up the song here. This is about halfway through the song. And it's about how, you know, all the things that he's done in his life and all the pains that he's experienced and all the ways that he's tried to escape that with the different avenues, drugs, alcohol, however you've tried to drown it out, it just wasn't enough. And the pain in his voice as he's singing about it, it's like you can see him in the studio singing it and having to relive it as he's singing it. And then when he finally breaks through to that chorus where he's like, it's not enough to make me whole, and there's a certain amount of victory that you can kind of sense in the way that it's like, I'm past it. It wasn't about the distraction anymore. It was about getting past the pain. And the music video for it, I think, is one of the craziest things I've ever seen. It's a one-shot video of just him, like, straight looking into the camera. And he goes from walking, like he's on a treadmill. Must be. Because yeah, right. He would have ran into the camera really right. Early into the video otherwise. Right. But it's just him walking towards the camera, and the speed slowly increases through the whole video until he's clearly having a hard time still singing and moving.
Yeah.
And it just ends with him, like, where he finally steps off the treadmill or whatever, where he's able to just come to a dead stop. And something about that constant pursuit of distraction to try to get past the pain, and that wasn't the avenue past the pain. And finally finding that resolution where you're no longer sucked into the pain. Something about that just, maybe it was relevant to me, but...
I think maybe you explained it better than he could. That was kind of beautiful, what you're saying.
Hey, good job, me.
Yeah, good job.
But it's one of those things where the first time I listened through the album, I missed that song. I didn't really feel that song. And I think it was my second or third time through. I think it was my third time through. It took me three times listening through that song where I was just kind of like, this song really is slow moving. Not a lot's happening. There's one cool moment in it where everything really comes to a climax, and then it's back to slow. So if you're driving and you're distracted, it's not much. But I'm sitting at home and I watch the music video and I go, oh my God. Like the visual impact of that song made me really pay attention to the lyricism. And that sucked me back into a song where I had overlooked that song probably two or three times. Mm. And when I finally listened to it, and I saw him perform it, and I saw in his eyes as he's kind of like reliving those moments, and he's having this, he's actually having a hard time breathing and singing because of what's going on, and it's all happening in one
right.
take.
Right.
And then to see the resolution of it where he's, I'm past it. It's like, it wasn't a tear to my eye. I flat out bawled. I was just like, and I actually felt really bad for having listened to that song three times without hearing the heart
and
of it.
Not actually paying attention to it. Yeah.
And that's coming from a guy who pays attention.
Right.
Who typically isn't distracted enough to miss that. So not only is it hard to find those songs, sometimes you can find that song and not realize it.
Yeah, right. Yep. Well, that's a letter to Elise. It's the same way I feel about that one. That came off of their album. They had like Pictures of You and Friday I'm in Love. Like, I mean, that's just one of the ones that I think everybody looks over, but it's an amazing, amazing joint.
It is far too easy to look over songs that you... even if it's a song on an album you like, it's just like, well, this song is in it for me.
Right.
Meanwhile... There's maybe this poignant message
that you should
poignant,
be listening to.
Poignant? I don't know. Yeah. I always mispronounce that. There's poignant message that could be directed right at you and you didn't know it, you know? Mm. I don't know. I think that's interesting, but holy cow. Yeah, we're running along again.
I want a burrito.
What?
I want a burrito.
Well, you know what comes next then?
I'm hungry.
Let's go get you a taco. You can't have a burrito.
Fuck!
Well, we want to thank you for listening to Bandwagon again this week. Doing it again.
I don't want to thank you.
There's okay. You and the pants pooper can go off in the corner by yourself.
I just fucking made you speechless.
Just for a second.
I don't know what to say to that.
your words.
Go fuck yourself then, Rick.
All right. Deal. You and your mustache can go have a good time with Burrito Land. If you have any feedback on this episode, if you want to talk about the lyrical impact, what it's meant to you, bands that have songs that you enjoy that because of lyrical content, whatever.
We
if you have any feedback
deep.
On what?
We can get deep.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, look at us. Look we at us talking about crying. Look at us talking about crying
I'm
because
not a
of
faggot.
Music.
I don't cry.
Only girls
Lesbians
cry.
Lesbians and faggots. We are on our way to diversity here.
We're getting there. We just need a black guy on the show now.
Right.
Oh, we're so white. But you should send that feedback to feedback@blindninjastudios.com, or maybe you could throw it as a comment at us on facebook.com/blindninjastudios, or tweet it at us @blind_ninja, and be sure to follow us and like us in those places. Hey, we have a YouTube channel, too.
We do. We got that. That's awesome.
Yeah, we have some shows and stuff on there. They're cool things. Eric's got a show on there about cooking food.
Secret project coming out soon, too.
Secret project. And the Gamer's Kitchen.
The Gamer's Kitchen. And Josh's World. And I don't know what Casey's doing now.
Ribs are delicious.
Yes.
And be sure to check out other shows. You can find them at blindninjastudios.com. And as always, thanks for listening. And if there's a poop psychologist, please still get in contact.
Please call us.
He's still looking for that.
We need to end this.
I haven't found one yet. Enjoy.
Bye.
Bye.